You heard the legend. Yeah! Kickstart your day with the man who dominated the field like no other, Wayne Carey. And the sports journo who's done it all, Mark Howard. The Dead Set Legends do breakfast on Triple M.
Well, good morning, Melbourne Town. 2 hours of news, information and entertainment coming your way with the Dead Set Legends Do Breakfast. Lee Montagna to come in and tell us how the Saints are travelling after that massive win against the Bombers last week. Ian Healy from Cardiff to wrap the Ashes test overnight. Nui Takoa to talk all things confidential, social pages, movie, etc. Ash Pollard to talk reality TV and Dancing with the Stars. But if you're just in your car or getting to work, if you're a sports fan, you're probably exhausted. So much to get through last night. And my man, the King, was organising a little party last night for State of Origin, but looking sharp this morning, Ducky.
I was organising a party, Howie, and I've watched the first 5 minutes of the State of Origin, and New South Wales obviously got off to a great start, 2-0.
Yes.
And then I fell asleep.
Fell asleep?
Fell asleep.
What happened to the... You've been telling me all week the boys are coming, man, you're getting the beers on.
I'm getting a little bit smarter, not harder. So I actually cancelled that. Had some dinner, tucked into bed, thought I'd watch some cricket. I was flicking over, watched the first two overs of the cricket, the first 5 minutes of the State of Origin, and then out cold.
You've got to prepare. When it's a night like last night, when you've got the cricket, you've got the Origin, you've got the Tour de France. I got the Big Penguin, my three-year-old aside yesterday. I said, mate, we've got a big night ahead. We've got to have a kip. So we jumped in bed together. Just as his eye was closing, he was about to go to sleep. And you know what he said to me?
What?
He opened one eye and he said, Dad, do you reckon dinosaurs have got long tongues? And then he went to sleep. But he prepared.
Hey, I did catch all the replays this morning, though,
my
so I'm across what happened.
We'll talk cricket and Origin next. Mark Howard. And the former king of partying, now just a little man under the thumb at home, Wayne Carey. Duck, sat on the couch last night. I was a kid in a candy store. The first session of the first Ashes test is an absolute beauty. We had them in all sorts of trouble. But before we get to the cricket, you've got several issues from what you saw last night.
Well, why did they play the game in Cardiff? Why? I mean, 15,000 people. It looked like I said, I watched the first part of it, and I've seen all the highlights this morning. But sitting there watching it, and the red carpet and the tacky flames as they walk out.
It was your under-12s job, wasn't it?
It was really, really tacky. And then when I heard them say, oh, this ground fits 15,000, you got the first test of an Ashes series, and there's 15,000 people. I thought it was really, really, really tacky and poor.
I couldn't agree more with you. We'll speak to Ian Healy later on and he'll explain exactly what's going on. No doubt, like in this part of the world, different cities bid for different events, and obviously Cardiff's paying the money to get the first Ashes test. But you're right, to have such a showcase event, the first test in England is the biggest test match of the year, and you get 15,000 in there. However, the 15,000 weren't that happy early doors because England were 3 for 43. Joe Root came in. He was on zero and this happened.
Oh, well taken for Brad Haddon. Or was it?
Oh, yes, outside edge. Oh, he's hit his thumb. It's a squeeze. But definitely an edge. Oh, Brad Haddon.
So Brad Haddon dropped Joe Root. They would have been 4 for 43. Root went on. He was fantastic, mate. 134. He's done the job against Australia several times. Did it again last night.
Hazelwood to continue. Joe Root on 97. That'll be 100. A great 100 that is too. First Ashes test match. Joe Root stems the flow. Keeps Australia's bowler at bay and scores his 7th test match 100. Well played.
So as you said, Howie, the wicket was clearly doing things that you don't expect on a wicket on day one. Mm. So to score a century, that's a pretty good effort.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal knock. And obviously at 3 for 40-odd, they had the look of 6 for 60, all out for 180 at one point. But they held it together. He had a wonderful partnership alongside Stokes, who made 50-odd, 343 for 7. They've probably taken the points on day one.
What about our bowlers? Because to me, like I said, only seen the highlights, but to me, they didn't quite get their line and length right.
No, you're spot on, Ducky boy. 3 for 84 for Mitchell Starc. Hazelwood was the pick with 3 for 70. Nathan Lyon got the early wicket of Cook, 1 for 54. Watson, Warner and Johnson didn't get a wicket. They had them 3 for 43, but by no means were they bowling at their best. I think there's a fair bit of nerves involved. The first Ashes session, first Ashes test, they're a bit all over the shop.
Where does our 28-year-old, 50-year-old looking Lyon rate in the world as a spinner? Because his consistency is good.
Well, statistically, he's the best off-spinner in the history of Australian cricket. He got the early wicket last night. Great captain, Michael
what
Clarke.
What was that? Best off-spinner?
He's taken more wickets than any other off-spinner in the history of Australian cricket.
How many have we had? 3.
No, we've had lots, Duck. Lots that have got smashed all around the place. The Roo, Bruce Yardley. You had Peter Taylor in there.
Never heard of any of them.
May, Timmy May, oh, got 5 for 9 against the West Indies at one stage. No, listen, they didn't bowl their best, but I reckon Mitchell Starc might clean up the tail today and then it'll be all up to the Australians with a bat. The second big story last night, State of Origin, 52-6, Ducky boy. You've had actually came in and watched a bit of the replay this morning. Yep. It was a destroyation.
Well, and that's the thing, Howie. Obviously, I'm a New South Wales boy, so I thought that New South Wales would get the job done last night, although Queensland were the favourites. This Queensland team, now it's 9 out of 10 now, Howie. Mal Meninga's been in charge for 10 years. They've now won 9 of them, lost last year. And there was talk that if New South Wales won this game, then a lot of those Queensland players would retire. Why would you stop playing for Queensland when you smash this young, up-and-coming New South Wales team like that?
I mean, there's 52 reasons right here on the scoreboard that you wouldn't retire.
No, but that's
boy.
Exactly what I'm saying. I mean, you know, I think Hodges is going to hang them up after after this game. He has, so... Oh, wow. What a game. And, you know, all congratulations must go to Queensland. They are just a super, super team. The best Queensland team ever to take the park.
Yeah, we'll try and get hold of one of the Queenslanders later in the show. Ian Healy will join us after 7:30 to talk cricket. A lot of talk, obviously, during the last week after the Alex McKinnon story was on Channel 9 and some comments that obviously would have upset Cameron Smith. He said he wouldn't speak to Channel 9. He didn't speak to them last night, but he did speak to Triple M footy after the game last night with the Rugby League boys.
Mate, I was pretty good. Obviously had some mixed emotions over the last few days. I just want to concentrate on, you know, the victory tonight. I thought the boys were very good and very proud of their efforts.
Is there anything you'd like? I mean, it's the first time we've been able to hear you for the last couple of days. Is there anything you'd like to say in regards to what's happened?
Oh, Dan, I don't think this is the right time to talk, mate. Right. I've just finished the State of Origin game and I obviously want to enjoy this victory. But, I think in the near future I'll have to come out and have my say, mate, and hopefully everyone can hear that.
Just the reception he got when he stood up as the Queensland captain in front of 50-plus at Suncorp. They were just chanting Queensland, Queensland. It was a great moment, Dougie.
It was, and he's able to have his say in the near future, as he said, and a lot of people will be surprised. Like I said, Alex McKinnon, great story, but that man there, Cam Smith, misrepresented on 60 Minutes the other night.
And the man that's walked in, still smiling after the weekend, Lee Montagna. Hello, Joey.
Morning, guys. How you going?
Great to see you, Joe. I've got a good mate that you know, Bergie.com, Bergs, who loves the Saints. And he continually sends me text messages when you're playing. And if you're flying, the premiership window opens or closes. So he started at the start of the Essendon game, 2020 Saints premiership. Got to quarter time, 29. By the end of it, it was 2017. The Saints are going to win the flag. It was an amazing game of footy.
Oh, look, we did. I mean, we could only control how we played and we applied that great effort and the pressure that we've brought the last few weeks, and unfortunately Essendon probably didn't bring their best game, and that was the result you get, and we'll take that. We certainly know, you know, going forward that if other teams also come to compete, it's going to be a lot tougher. But you certainly take those wins when we get them, because we've been on the end of a few lately and haven't had too many, so it was quite nice.
No, your pressure was good, but what was good about it, Joey, you did get a little bit of time and space, because they weren't great in their pressure, but you can often get that and still butcher it. I thought you used it really well. And not only that, always team orientated. Didn't get ahead of yourselves even when the score started to blow out.
Yeah, I thought it was a sign of maturity from the group. And even at three-quarter time, boys could probably start thinking about their stats and all. But we, you know, really applied the pressure and kicked a lot of goals in that last quarter. So it was a good sign, good step. Another good lesson for the young guys. We've had a lot of experience this year. Some close losses, some close wins, 55-point comeback, and now a hiding. And we've given one out. So the boys are experiencing all the different things that happen in a game of footy, so it's going to be great for us in the long run.
And you're playing on it next year. You've played 240 games.
Yep.
You kicked a beautiful goal, 50 out. I thought it might have been a bit beyond you, but it got there. You want to continue on for at least a couple more years with this young group.
Yeah, it does now. It certainly makes me want to play for as long as possible. I'm really enjoying it, and I know this team's heading in the right direction. So now, for me, it's about keeping the body right and making sure I'm in good enough form to keep getting a game, and hopefully I can hang on for a couple of years and hang on the coattails of Jack Stephen and Armo and Jack Billings and the boys and play in another final series.
You're heading up to Spotless Stadium, that hotbed of football activity, to take on the GWS on Sunday. They're a really hard team to get a read on in many ways, GWS, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But I think people are underselling them how well they're going. I know that with Mumford out and a few of the other key players, they thought they'd drop off. But against Richmond last week, they probably should have won that game. They were terrific. And I mean, they've still got a gun midfield. And we know that's really where games are won and lost in the midfield. So we'll have to be on our best game to make sure we take them on. They're still a pretty confident young side and very talented, so it'll be a tough game.
The sling tackle. What are you going to do in that situation, Joe? There was Bucks was talking about it during the week that he wasn't sure. Bryce Gibbs said he was confused. Jay Shilter sitting at home thinking, how good's this? Where do you sit on the whole situation?
Oh, well, certainly I'm like everyone else. You're confused now. You're not sure what you can and can't do. I mean, you've just got to try and avoid it. I think it's a bit like the bump. I mean, if you decide to do that action, well, you're just putting yourself at risk and you probably don't know what's going to happen depending on the outcome, really. So it's a bit like bumping. You still can bump, but you know that if you do, it's a risk and you might get suspended if something goes wrong. So you'd probably try and avoid it if possible. Sometimes in a game of footy, you can't avoid it. It happens instinctively. It happens naturally. But I think it's a bit like the bump. If you're going to do it, you're running the risk of either hurting someone or possibly getting off if nothing goes wrong.
I'm going to lighten things up here a little bit, Howie, because in at Channel 7, in the wardrobe area, you've happened to leave, and it's been there for, it must be 6 or 7 weeks now. There's a little vest number.
A vest?
With a white shirt, and it's got on here, Joey, you left it, come and pick it up, and it's hanging on the rack in there, and you would not wear it, Howie, painting the house. It is an absolute shocker. It's a little grey dark vest with a white shirt. You've obviously gone into wardrobe, had to put the suit on to do the Sunday show.
Yeah.
And you've got to pick it up. It's a shocker, Joey.
Yeah, actually, it's a three-piece. Yeah. So it must have been, it's in a grey suit that I've got to three-piece, and I must have left the vest part out of it when I wore the jacket.
Yes. It's a shocker. Yeah. Do you actually wear that?
No, I don't. It comes with the suit, but I've left it behind.
Joe Montagna's going to stick around to talk fashion and all things football. Mark out. Wayne Carey, nice by you, Duck. 9 days, but you finally fired a shot. Lee Montagna is with us. Dane Swan playing game number 250 this week. This is what the coach Nathan Buckley had to say about it yesterday.
He'll be the 12th player in Collingwood's history to play 250 games. And when you look at the names that are there, Dacos, Richards, Burns, Shaw, Coventry, Buckley.
Nathan Buckley laughing at his own work, which I always enjoy. Tell us a little bit about Dane Swan as a man to play against, Joe.
Look, Swan is a beauty. I drafted the same year as him. So we've played our whole careers, alongside each other in Tuat Island with him. And every time I see him to go out, I bump into Swanee. So I've known him for a while. And look, he's just the old school footballer. Just gets up and plays and dominates. I remember the Ireland series over in Ireland. It was about 5 minutes before the game.
Was that in Ireland?
In Ireland. Swanee was still in his tracky pants.
I was going to say, I reckon Swanee might have given it a little nudge over there.
Yeah, he did. But you know what the main thing was? Duck, and he was still 5 minutes before the game. He was sitting there reading the record in his tracky pants. Everyone was warming up, firing themselves up. And we're looking, and we said to Tyson Goltak, is this normal? He said, mate, this is what he does. He just sits there by his locker just until we're about to start and get going. And he came out and dominated the game. He dominated. And it was like, that's unbelievable. And the boy said, no, the Collingwood boys lasted, don't they? That's what he's done for 250 games.
He's got a funny gait, but for those who watch him from afar, he is quick, isn't he?
He's quick. Yeah. And he digs in. He's just one of those guys. Get him out in the football field and chase a footy and he'll chase it all day. And we know about him, with his training and that sort of stuff, but he's been a star as a player, absolutely.
You boys are heading up, as I said, to Spotless to take on GWS, and I said in the break, what's your routine? And the first thing you and Duck looked at each other and said, the food, Duck. Explain.
Whenever you travelled interstate, Howie, you had a habit of overeating because you get a smorgasbord of food, you've got the pastas, the ice creams, all that sort of stuff. And I want to know, Joey, do you overeat? When you travel.
It's the number one rule with the dietitian over there with the big buffets. Don't overeat. That's the big number one rule. But there's a few of us that have just got the routine of overeating on interstate trips, and I'm still one of them. I'm trying not to encourage the young kids, but you do go back for a second bowl when it's there. And then you don't usually have ice cream. But when there's ice cream and fruit there, you just tend to have a little bowl of dessert.
Who's the one that really needs to keep an eye out for as far as the buffet goes at the Saints?
Oh, yeah. Adam Schneider's the one that's always got the skin fold issues. And he always gets one of the young boys to sneak up and grab a second bowl for him just so the coach or the dietitian doesn't see him eating again.
Just on Schneider, watching him last week, and he was good last week. And we know he's getting older. He'll probably retire at the end of the year, but they're all saying that this guy will be a coach. So whether he stays at St Kilda or somewhere, you can't have a moppy mohawk if you're going to coach. How is a player going to take you seriously if you're getting around with a dude like
that's
that?
Very good point, that you've noticed that. Duck, he's going on 32 trying to look like his son, who's nine. Yeah. He's got the same haircut as his nine-year-old son at the moment. The real short sides, he's trying to keep himself young. I'll pass on that feedback to him. He'll be pumped with that.
Hey, just one bloke before I let you go. I want to ask you about Josh Bruce. I've seen a fair bit of the Saints this year, and we've seen his goal kicking, but he covers an extraordinary amount of ground. He came to you as a backman, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he got drafted from GWS. GWS tried to turn him into a backman. I think he was naturally a forward as a kid, but because they already had Jeremy Cameron, Jonathan Patton, they tried to turn him into a defender, squeezed out of the side. So the club did really well to find him and spot him. And he initially had him as a backman, but I think they always had him earmarked to be a forward. He's a great competitor.
Is that because he butchers it?
Well, he's not the greatest field kick, Duck. He's not the greatest field yet.
Yes.
But in front of goal, but he's been a dead eye this year in front of goal. So you might as well utilise his strengths, and he can catch the ball and he runs as hard as Rui and
competes
really well, which is what you want from those big forwards, and he kicks straight. So he's doing super for us at the moment, and all the girls, my wife and all the girls are in love with him. Brucey's the new cult hero at the club. So
The man bun.
Yeah, it's got them all talking.
Do you think we could see Joey in the final season, maybe next year or the year after?
I wish I could grow a man bun. My hair just goes afro. It goes boofy.
That's the one spot where hair doesn't grow on my head, right where the bun goes.
All right, Buffy, we'll let you go. Thanks for coming and having a chat. Good luck against the GWS this week, mate.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
I love potting people with bad haircuts, Hal. You know why?
Why is it?
Because I'm losing mine.
That's exactly right. The first test kicked off last night at Cardiff, and the English were in trouble early doors at 3-43, steadied to end the day at 7-343. Joe Root, the star, 134. Duck, massive start to the Ashes series. The most important job is the commentary team to get things underway. Yes. And our man that joins us on the line opened things up because he's a strength. His name is Ian Healy. He joins us now. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, fellas. Lovely to be with you.
Wonderful to speak to you. By 3-40, the Aussies looked to be in the box seat, but it was a wonderful 100 by Joe Root, although he was dropped on zero.
Yes, that's right. Let's forget about the drop catch because that's a keeper friend of mine.
We can't, Hills. We can't.
It was a great innings, a really classy Ashes century that will be talked about for a long time, and that's great for Joe Root because that's the best he's played against Australia, and he's really showed his talent, and he's performing well. 7 centuries in 28 tests, he's going pretty well, and he's already been through a rough patch, so that's good. The Australians, I think, at 3-43 and then a drop catch thought they might just steamroll through this England batting attack, but they didn't. They got caught, and England batted pretty well. And the day ended probably just in favour of England.
Hills, I want to talk more about the build-up. It looked like amateur hour for mine. A very small ground, only 15,000. They had lights, red carpet. What did you think of the build-up?
Yeah, no one's happy. We don't really mind, mate. Like we're over here just covering what England cricket organises. It's money. It's money. The Wales cricket board and the government have outbidded Manchester, we believe, for this test. So it's money, and when we're playing at an intimate setting, which is nice enough. The wicket wasn't up to scratch. I don't think today it was a bit up and down and hard to bat on when the ball was new, and then England went all right. But yeah, it's intimate, and this is their second Ashes test since 2009. And first Ashes test. So, something's happening here in Wales. They're doing really well administratively to get such favours.
Heels, how did you see the bowling? 3-84 for Mitchell Starc, 3-Hazelwood. Johnson didn't pick up a wicket. Lyon got the important wicket, obviously, of Alistair Cook, but didn't quite put it in the right areas, especially in the first session. Fair call?
Yeah, fair call. They were untidy. They were struggling for rhythm. I spoke to Josh Hazelwood after the day's play. He said he was nervous. So hopefully the boys aren't building this Ashes contest up to be something bigger than it needs to be. It's a cricket game, and if you do really well in this cricket game, you'll do something special in the eyes of your country, and that is win the Ashes. Don't worry about the Ashes. Just get out there and play like you can. So for them to be nervous, not great, but anyway, they got out of it. They're 7-343. It sounds better than 5-343, which is what England could have been. You know, to get that last wicket of Joss Butler was big. And they've got Broad and Moen Ali in there now. Moen Ali's batting really well. But we dug ourselves back into it, even though we didn't have a good day with the ball.
What are you expecting, Hills? We should knock them over fairly quickly tonight.
Yeah, you think so. But they're going to have to bowl well. Moen Ali has come out and played all sorts of shots. Mm. And if you start chopping and changing what you're trying to do with your bowling, he can get you. And Stuart Broad, everyone knows he's a little bit gun-shy these days. So what he does, though, is try to watch the ball and swing hard and hit. And he's made a couple of handy 40s of recent times. So you don't need these blokes getting away on you. You need to bowl quality, consistent, in the right areas, time after time. So they didn't do that today, but I reckon there'll be some serious lectures going on tonight, and the bowlers will be better first up tomorrow. So they can keep the last 3 wickets down to 30 or 40. There's a game on. Batting last, which is what we've probably got to do, not going to be easy.
Heels, we really appreciate your time. It was a treat to sit down and watch and listen last night on Nine and Gem. Second day tonight, kicking off again at 8 o'clock. We really appreciate your time. Have a good sleep.
No worries. Thanks, Harry. Thanks, Doug. Bye.
Duck, I was just reading you an article from Elle McPherson, the body, who said you need to drink 3 litres of water a day. And I said to you, Ducky boy, how can you drink 3 litres? I'll be up all night just having a whiz every 3 hours. And you've just proved to me that you're a mentally strong character.
Well, when you said that, I realised I was thirsty, for one. And if you're thirsty, you're dehydrated. And I said, Howie, you just, if you happen to need to go during the night, you just hang on to it and hang on.
So you can wake up at 4 a.m. busting.
And hang on to it and hang on.
We need to talk footy next. You're an extraordinary man. Duck, again, discussions revolve around James Hurd and his future at the Essendon Football Club. The question was put to Mark Bomber-Thompson on AFL 360 last night.
You got to either pick whether you want him to coach or not and just tell him and do it. Like, just either way, you got to either support him as your coach and start loving him and working with him, or you don't have him.
Not sure if Bomber's tights are a bit, pants are a bit tight during that interview. Very high-pitched, Bomber Thompson.
Well, you know what? It's really sad. I mean, Bomber's obviously a coach, been a great player, captain, premiership sides, all of that sort of stuff at that particular footy club. It's really sad to see that there's clearly a bitterness there. And I'm not saying...
You think so?
Oh, well, I think it's been quite obvious. But for me, James Hurd, it's base it, and I'll say it, I've said it a million times already, but base it off his whole year, not this last 5 weeks. You can't sack a coach. You've got to take all the other stuff out of it. Let him coach this year and next year out and judge him on that. If he's not good enough or he doesn't get the results, then by all means, they're in every right to say, James, you're not up to it. We've got to go in a different direction. But this has been a massive overreaction because people have got the two things confused or mended together.
It takes an extremely strong footy club, though. You heard, and I'm not saying Carlton's not one, but you heard during the year that we're sticking by Malthouse. And I've got no doubt they 100% believe that. Mark Lejeune say the board, they were sticking behind Malthouse. But after big loss, after big loss, after big loss, the pressure mounts. And eventually, you need to release the pressure in some way, shape or form.
Mick jumped. Let's be honest. So Mick lit that fire and made sure that he gave them no choice in the end. So I think that they were always going to let Mick coach out till the end of the year. But unfortunately, he made a few comments that
precipitated his departure.
Exactly right.
I spoke a couple of weeks ago at the footy, just casually walking around at Etihad Stadium with Nathan Grimer. And he was just sort of running through and I was saying, when are you going to be back out there again? And he sort of explained to me what had happened over the last couple of years with a couple of back surgeries. And he seemed pretty flat on it all, Duck. So I can't say I was that surprised to see after 86 games him giving it away. Might have to have something fused in his back, a third back operation. He's he was a great player for that footy club. He gave his best. But it's sad to see him go, Ducky boy.
It is very sad to see him go, and you do have to think about the rest of your life. That's a serious injury. When you're talking about your back, Howie, you can't take chances. Get it fixed, and you've got the rest of your life to live. And he's a good guy. I'm sure he'll find something that he enjoys. You never find something that you enjoy as much as playing footy. So that's where it's going to be really hard on him. But you just said he's one of the greats.
No, I didn't say he's one of the greats. I said he's a great guy.
Well, there's actually a quote here from Brad Scott, and I'm not sure whether the journalist has got this confused or not, but he says here he's had a real challenge overcoming injury and he's played with injury in the past. He's been a real warrior. We'll look back on him as one of the greats. An 86-game great.
Oh, he's just being pumped up by his coach as he walks out the door.
Maybe one of the great blokes, I think he was saying. Not one of the... I don't think he's been a great player, but he's been a player that has been very serviceable and he's obviously a terrific guy and I wish him all the best. Congratulations, Nathan, on what has been a shortened career, which is sad, but you've got the rest of your life to look forward to.
Yeah, missed over 100 games in that period. You're off to Adelaide tonight. Port Adelaide, 5 changes, 1 through injury, 4 blokes have been dropped. Collingwood go in unchanged.
Yeah, I reckon the Pies just get the job done.
Really?
They've had 2 honourable losses. I said last week you can't have 2. They certainly can't afford to have three. They're in way better form than Port Adelaide. They should win, even though it's in Adelaide. And obviously, Port Adelaide have got a little bit to play for. It's going to be a very emotional night in Adelaide. Obviously, there'll be all sorts of stuff and celebrations, Phil Walsh's life and all that sort of stuff. But I think that Collingwood are a better team right now than Port Adelaide, and they'll win.
Duck, quite a few years ago now, I did a Rising Star story with Mitch Duncan, with Daniel Menzel and Alan Christensen, all in their first year. Mitch has gone on to become a premiership player. At this stage, they were all neck and neck. I look now, Christensen's in Brisbane. The game moves so quickly, and Dan Menzel is hoping to come back through the VFL this week after four knee reconstructions. Oh. If anything happens in the football world this year, I hope it's a good story for Daniel Menzel.
Yeah, totally agree with you, Howie. Just hope and wish that everything goes well from this time on.
He's so upbeat, Duck. Even last time before the last Rico, he's like, if I can get back now, you know, hopefully I can get into play finals. There was no thought in his head before the last Rico, number three, that it wasn't going to work out for him, which I admire tremendously.
What people don't realise is that, and only people within the footy club, that get injured for long-term injury. It's the most lonely place you can be coming back from long-term injuries. He's done it four times. It's quite incredible. He deserves everything that he gets. Let's hope he gets a clean run at it.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Good luck on the weekend, Dan. Duck, our next guest, well, for about 6 or 7 years there, you made his life pretty easy, to be honest. Nui Takoa joins us. G'day, Nui.
What's going on, Nui? I haven't been in there for ages.
Well, you'll probably be in there tomorrow, mate, after 5 minutes falling asleep into the State of Origin game. That's confidential.
Well, this was after Nui. He was telling us all week, I've got the boys coming round. I've got a slab. There's a big night on.
Nui, I'm not sure you get in there for going to sleep 5 minutes into a game. I'm pretty sure you get in there for only having 5 minutes of sleep.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Or holding your wee in all night. That's another one.
that would get you in. Yeah. Hey, first off, you weren't able to join us last week. Your little daughter was Crooks. You all okay, Nui?
Yeah, she's all right. She had a bacterial infection. We went to the Royal Children's Hospital. They do incredible things there. Much love out to the platypus ward and everyone in there. Yeah. She's pulled up really well.
It's funny. Duck obviously spent some time in there with little Charlotte when she came early. And when you go in there and you see what goes on, and then the next time the appeal comes round, it's almost open your wallet, because it's an amazing place in there, Nui. As you say, they do a brilliant job.
Absolutely. I mean, we've given every year to Royal Children's, but when you find yourself in there and just looking around, and, you know, some kids are doing it a lot tougher than, you know, our little girl. You know, really blessed that we came through that all right. But you just see the incredible work they do.
But not only the kids, how about lifting the pay of all the nurses that look after the kids?
Absolutely, that's
the other thing, Howie.
All right, what's happening, Nui? I always enjoy reading and listening to what you've got going on.
I wanted to pick a bone with the Duck over his 5-star review of mignons first.
Thought it was about a steak.
Mignons.
Nui.
Minions. You didn't like it.
No, well, how did you make sense of it, mate? It was just gibberish.
Well, I did doze off in that as well. It was a little bit of gibberish. I don't speak English, those little minions.
And I tried to pump up Entourage to you, and you weren't having that either.
Well, I think it should have just stayed back on TV. I mean, it was like one of the weaker episodes. And that drama storyline, we won't go into it, but Johnny Drama goes through a bit, gets caught on camera doing a few things.
He did.
Now, my old wife.
What do you got for us, Nui? I like this because you roll it in. You're full of informations.
Yeah, well, Powderfinger were mooted as one of the support acts for the AC/DC shows in December. Someone else said it was Jet and Silverchair. Usually I'm the one making up these sort of rumours and getting it wrong. And I asked the guitarist from Powderfinger, ex-guitarist, his name's Darren Middleton, about those rumours. This is what he had to tell the Hot Breakfast.
I did. I heard the rumours. I may have started. No, I didn't start them. But there was nothing to it. They were just words on the breeze, basically. I went through some ups and downs personally, you know, with depression and things like that. And All pretty standard things for someone my age who has, I suppose, left a big chunk of their life behind. It was really important for me to go through that and just kind of work out what I want to do and why I want to do it, or who I am and all these sorts of things. There were and there still are no plans to, but if it was the right time and the right motivations and everyone wanted to, I'd be open to the idea, but there's certainly nothing booked in.
Sorry, so that's three grabs all in a row. So the first bit, he was saying that the rumours are not true, they're not doing it. But an important thing is that he suffered depression after Powderfinger split up.
Yep.
They were a massive band, 18 years of hits, and then after that, you know, to be left alone with your thoughts and trying to figure out what you're going to do in music, it kind of leaves you in a really strange place.
Absolutely, because you don't know what you're going to do. Nathan Grimer just retired. Mm. It's the same for sports people. They never find that same love or passion that they'll find in what they did previously.
Nui, question without notice, who is the biggest rock star you've interviewed? The person you've walked into the room and you've got edgy and they've had that presence. In sport, it's for mine, it's Greg Norman. You walk in and he's bigger than the room when you walk in there. Who in the entertainment field, who's that?
I've interviewed Mick Jagger a couple of times.
Right.
Interviewed him in Tokyo, once in New York. Really nice man and really quite a giving interview subject, but he knows who you are.
Yeah.
So he does all his study before you get in there. He knows who you work for, your circulation, what sort of attitude you bring to the table. So he does his homework. He likes to play a few mind games. Like, he'll really pull you up on a few questions. If you've got it wrong and you've done your research wrong, he'll do that. Madonna's like that as well. I've interviewed her as well. Keith Richards, he's incredible. I interviewed him in New York 3 a.m. after he got totally blind on vodka.
You did the interview at 3 a.m.?
3 a.m. We were supposed to do it like 10 p.m. And the record company sent me to dinner. Then they sent me to a bar until he was ready. He stumbled into the hotel room at 3 a.m. We did. It was a great interview.
I was going to say, it'd be a great interview.
Incredible interview. And he just ended up half an hour slagging off Elton John the whole time. It was at the time that they were all feuding. So that was a really good interview.
And when he read your transcript of the interview, would he have had any recollection of anything he told you, Nui, or not?
Now, the thing about Keith is that a lot of it's just part of his brand. So he's a smart cookie. And a lot of that kind of slurring, you know, stumbling guy, I mean, that's Keith to a point, but he's well aware of who he is and what he's saying.
Hey, Nui, we've got plenty more to get through with you. So do you mind sticking around?
No, absolutely.
Fantastic. Nui Takara is with us. Nui, Duck just declared in the ad break that at one stage he was the national handball champion of Australia.
I think he wants to be in competition tomorrow.
We're just watching the news and they've got a handball competition going on at the moment through the schools. I was North Wagga primary champion.
Hey, Nui, before we finish this segment, I want you to give me the top three confidential people of all time that have given you the most gear. But before that, the Veronicas have been in the news.
Yeah, they have been in the news. They're sick of being skinny shamed.
Right.
So we know the Veronicas.
Yep. Me too, Nui. Yeah. Me too.
Oh, yeah. I was in 1982. But we know the Veronicas. They're pop twins, Jess and Lisa. You know, they've been hitting the red carpet lately and they've been getting skinny shamed, and this is what they had to tell the Dead Set Legends.
Go look at my mother. She is built exactly as we are genetically. We are petite girls. We're never going to be anything but petite girls. We have never felt more confident, more healthy, more sexy. You know, we feel good in our own bodies.
Good on them.
Actually, you know what? Yeah. No, good on them, because when people, you know, if someone's overweight and they get shamed for that, and then when people are underweight for some reason, they go, oh, they're not eating right.
Well,
not
who's
doing,
doing the shaming?
Well, that's right. Who is?
Just the commentators, those gossip columnists.
Confidential.
You know, like you,
people, you know, people who think they're on the pulse.
Well, my son, he's 14 and he hasn't got my figure, thank God. He's got his mother's figure. He's long and lean. He's like 6'2". He's 14, skinny as a rake. And at school, they tease him for being so skinny. They say he's ribbed.
He's
so
ribbed.
Instead of ripped, what? They say, oh, hey, ripped. Man, you're ribbed.
Wiry.
Yeah, okay. I said, mate, keep that body. You don't want this in the future. Anyway, I got another quote from them about, you know, being over skinny shaming and how they feel about it. This is what they'd say.
Yeah, I mean, the whole skinny shaming thing, we're just over it. I mean, it's not even worth our time necessarily, but we want to make sure people know, like, you know, it is, you know, people are looking up to us as role models on some level, and I think that we keep very real about that kind of thing.
Good on you. Go, Veronicas.
Nui, a lot of acts coming to Australia, which you can run us through, but I notice on the bottom of your notes here, our producer Sarah said to me at the start of the 2 weeks, if you could interview one person, who would it be? And I said, Bono. I would love to have a chance to chat with Bono. Are you two coming out, are they?
You two are coming out. They'll be here in March.
Can you sort it, Nui?
Yep, Bono, yep. I went on the tour, the last one, with the big octopus thing in the middle of the Etihad. You didn't go there?
Yeah, I did. I went
to the 360
show.
Tour?
Yeah, I did, but I didn't get to hang out with Bono.
I did hang out with Bono in Helsinki. It was me, Rove, and someone else, and they took us clubbing. We went through all the back entrances like rock stars do.
Good guy.
It was incredible. Yeah, he's incredible. He's incredible.
And Madonna finally coming to Australia.
Madonna is coming to Australia. She's already confirmed. That's two dates at Rod Laver Arena at the moment. That'll probably spill to a week of shows because she's here for a whole week. I mean, we haven't seen Madonna for 23 years. So.
Duck wants to
interview
Madonna.
Are you a fan, Duck? You a fan?
Yeah. I went to Madonna.
Oh, I bet you did.
New York.
Oh, I bet you did. Oh. What do you mean? Top three, Nui. Top three. We're a bit tight on time. Top three exponents in confidential
top
in the history.
Oh, so hard. Now the Duck's retired. And now that he's falling asleep and talking about his handball championships. I would say the number three would have been Bryn Edelston.
Yes.
Because... she's always been in the news.
Yep.
Number two would be Jeff Edelston.
I think I know where you're going with one. Give it to us, Nui.
Gabby Greco Edelston, number one.
Hey, Nui, great to speak with you. If you can sort me to have a chat with Bono, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. March 2016.
Right, we'll
good
be
to see you
to
guys.
Go.
Good stuff.
You too, well. Nui. Duck, our next guest, dominated on My Kitchen Rules. She's now moving to Dancing with the Stars, and she lives in your building, or your ex-building. I, of course, speak about Ash Pollard. G'day, Ash. How are you?
Ash. Good morning, boys.
You guys were sort of neighbours there for a while.
Well, we are now again.
Yes, we are. We are. We're
South Yarra,
on the other side of the on the other side of the city. Hey, what about you? My Kitchen Rules, semi-finals, Dancing with the Stars.
You
excited?
Can you believe it? I can't believe it. I'm extremely excited.
Can you dance, though? We know that you can cook, and you've brought in a couple of,
that's
do you call
carrot
those?
Cake with cream cheese icing.
No arsenic in that or anything?
No, not
okay,
today.
Okay, so we know you can cook, but can you dance?
Look, I've got rhythm. I had a bit of dance coaching when I was younger throughout school, but, you know, apart from that, I haven't had any professional training, but I fancy myself a bit of a dancer in a bar and in a club.
But doesn't really in a bar or a club have the entire national audience watching us, which is what you're going to be facing. John Paul Young, Jude Bolton, Larry Emden, Matty Rogers, Matty Mitchum, Tim Robards, another man who's crossed reality TV from The Bachelor and now on this, coming soon to Channel 7. So what are you going to bring to the table? You've started your training.
I'm always going to bring sass. There's no denying. Yeah,
right.
Everybody needs a bit of sass in their life, right? So I'll bring that. I'm going to try and bring some rhythm. I said to Jared, you need to challenge me.
So Jared's your partner.
Jared's my partner.
Yep.
Got to challenge me. I want to do lifts. I want to be completely pushed to my limits. And he's doing that.
Right.
I'm absolutely shocked.
So how much training a day or a week do we talk on Dancing with the Stars?
6 hours a day for a week.
6 hours a
day. But that's your choice, isn't it? You can train as much or as little as you want. Is that right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, it is. It is how it works. I mean...
So you're putting in 6 hours a day.
Yes. Yeah.
There wouldn't be too many putting in those hours.
Did you ever go to the gym for 6 hours a day back when you were...
No, never 6 hours a day. So that's a lot.
Being
it's
a Channel 7 man, Duck, have Channel 7 ever approached you about Dancing with the Stars?
They have.
Have they now?
Yeah, a few times.
And what happened there?
Well, I declined, Howie. Right. You never get your ambitions mixed up with your capabilities, and I've made a big enough fool of myself rather than go on there and try and dance. Are you a little bit worried? As Howie said, quite daunting. I mean, My Kitchen Rules, you know how to cook. You've got a partner like you have here, but... I mean, it's all about remembering steps and it's got the whole world watching.
Yeah,
it must be daunting.
It is extremely difficult. I'm kind of in – I don't know what I'm going to feel like when it comes time to actually perform live.
Mm.
Yeah. It's not here, so I can't really think about it. But for the most part, I'm really worried about forgetting the steps. That's my biggest fear. Yeah.
And what is it like being now a reality television star? You've gone from one area with the cooking. Now you're moving into dancing. Obviously, next is the home renovation department.
No way.
You're going to be a very clever lady by the end of
Look,
this.
Look, I can build stuff. I'm a woman of many talents, I'd like to think. But I just don't think I'm going to go to a home renovation show. No thanks.
Have you met the other guys at
this
stage?
Yeah, I have.
Well, what are they like?
Everybody's amazing. I'm going to keep an eye on a couple of people.
Who do you think is going to be hard to beat?
Look, I reckon Emma Friedman. Yeah, she's probably my number one. And then you got Larry just because he's... He's just a legend, and he's got a really big following. Probably not an amazing dancer, but
he's
still
a Channel 7 man
exactly,
as well.
Exactly, and he's got a really good personality. So he's going to get votes.
It's always good if there's a little bit of conflict amongst the contestants, Howie. Yeah. It is reality TV. Exactly.
And it is a competition.
So what is the prize for Dancing with the Stars? I know you get that glitter ball, but is there a cash incentive or how does that work? It's just
a glitter ball.
Right.
Like as if you wouldn't want a glitter ball on your mantle.
That's true. This fascinates me though, that you can move from one area to the other. What is the aim moving forward for you, Ash?
Well,
Pollard?
I think right now I'm concentrating on lessening the camel toe because I get a lot of camel toe in rehearsal.
Right.
Not partial to it, but you know what happens?
It's going to blow up the ratings. This is going to be the highest rating Dancing with the Stars in the history. Listen, good luck on Dancing with the Stars.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for bringing us in the cake as well.
Carrot muffin.
Yeah, I don't think we need to confuse the two. We better get to a break, Ash. Thank you very much for your time, Mark Howard.
Thanks, guys.
The Dead Set Legends do breakfast just on air on Triple M. What are you laughing about, Chuckles?
I'm laughing because I still can't put my headphones on.
Well, you overdid it in the gym 2 days ago, and you're like a big blouse now.
Seriously, still can't move, Howie. It is really, really annoying.
Whereas I went to the gym yesterday and did a really big heavyweight session. I've got no drama's guru.
I've overdone it. Seriously have.
What's on today? You're off to Adelaide?
Well, I'm off to Adelaide. I've just got to go and do a little thing for AFL Media and Crown Bet. So I'll do that then on a plane over there, and I'll do the footy tonight. So looking forward to that. It's going to be an emotional night once again. Port Adelaide v Collingwood.
As I was tucking my five-year-old into bed last night, I said, Skysy, what would you like to do today? And she said, Dad, I'd love to go for a surf. The last time she went surfing was February. Doesn't understand at age five, the water temperature is different in July than February.
And I love that picture that you sent out on Twitter and the little Skysy drawing a big shark with you on a surfboard.
That's right. Have a great surf, Dad. Here's a picture for you.
One of the classics. Hey, there's been a lot of feedback, Howie, about my aftershave advice.
For those that missed it, Duck did a full segment on what you need, where to apply it, and what was your number one?
Number one, certainly on the chest. It's got to glisten off the chest with the buttons undone. But my number one aftershave is Dunhill, which is Desire.
Never fails.
But this man says from Paco Rabanne, 1 million it's called, and it is actually sensational. That's a good one. Well done, Lee.
Paco Rabanne.
But it's called 1 million.
All right. If you need to see Duck's full discussion about aftershave, you can see it on triplem.com.au. As we leave you, we're giving away some tickets, thanks to afl.com.au, to watch Richmond take on Carlton. That's Friday night at the Triple M CG. Matty Richardson will kick the first ceremonial goal as the homecoming hero. We're also giving away tickets to the Saturday night game, Duck. Etihad Stadium, North Melbourne versus Geelong. Kicks off at 7:20, and also tickets from afl.com.au. That's a big game, North, Cats, isn't it?
Oh, massive game. Did you just say Richo's kicking a goal?
Yeah, as a homecoming hero, a bit like the first pitch at the baseball.
How far out?
13 metres directly in front. They're not sure if he's going to make it.
He might miss it.
That is mean.
That was not his pet distance.
What was his pet distance?
No, well, he liked it where he didn't have to think about it too much. Mind you, this man kicked 800 goals.
That's it. Have a ripping Monday.
And holds the record for the MCG.
We'll be back tomorrow. Mark Howard, Wayne Carey, the Dead Set Legends do breakfast on...